The Palomar Cancer Institute is going to be all about family.
I get to understand their story, what they've been through in life, and how to get them back to that story. Help them defeat the fear of cancer, get through that journey, and you get to see the real person emerge underneath the illness.
We're going to put a lot of time and energy into making sure that you get the experience that we would want if we were patients.
At Palomar Health, we are the leaders in quality and expertise in the region.
Another episode of Left Coast Sports here on Your View as we take a look back at a busy high school football weekend in San Diego. John Schaefer, Jonathan Rifkin with you. It is Left Coast Sports presented by Palomar Health. Again, we're going to recap our game time on Your View Game of the Week. We're going to look ahead to week 6 in San Diego County. We'll get you ready for our next broadcast, which is going to be in a couple of weeks on a Saturday as well. And this episode brought to you by Palomar Health. Champions aren't made overnight. They're created through practice, determination, and dedication. Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. So, Jonathan, this past Thursday night, you were on the call with Jack Cronin, Escondido, and Oceanside. An easy one for Oceanside as they win going away 44-7.
Yeah, this was an interesting matchup, John, because coming in, the storyline was two programs who haven't found a ton of success recently, but an Oceanside team with a brand-new coaching staff, 12 of their 17 coaches actually are Oceanside alum. So they tried to rebuild the culture with this new era of coaches coming in. They're both schools were 2-2. Oceanside, of course, the lore of San Diego section history, winning 15 section titles in 25 years, a couple of state championships in that time as well. But over the last 4 years, really 2019 was the turn. The pandemic really made things difficult on them and kids started to go to other schools. But this is a program that is trending back in the right direction. Even though they took a hit dropping into the Valley League, which is perceptively a little bit a lower level, I guess, than where you would be if you were in the Palomar or one of the Avocado West, Avocado East. But it was a sophomore quarterback in Miller versus a freshman quarterback in Thompson at Escondido. And it really felt like early on this would be a ball game. Oceanside came out. They scored on their first drive. Escondido moved the ball well. They stalled and ended up punting, but you could see some continuity offensively for Escondido. And then what Oceanside realized is defensively, as long as they run cover zeros and that they close those gaps and blitz the quarterback, it's going to be very tough for the freshman to get off the passes that he wants. He really had no time to go through his progressions, got hit a ton, was under pressure basically the entire first half. And that defense for Oceanside led to some really good offense. We saw four different touchdown scores in this game for Oceanside, a really good continuity, almost a one-to-one ratio on the ground through the air. And it was a home crowd that was jazzed up. It was the home opener of the league for Oceanside. So they were excited to see their Pirates back at home against a league opponent and ultimately coming away with a victory. So the youth on both sides was very prevalent. There were flags everywhere. A ton of excitement, a ton of juice out there on the gridiron, but ultimately it was the stout defense and the offensive continuity for Oceanside that charged them to victory.
Yeah, you mentioned the scores and touchdowns from everyone. Riley O'Malley, David Daniels, Corey Stevens. They had success running the ball on the ground as well. Some success on the defensive side with a couple of sacks from Beeman and Juarez in a win for Oceanside over Escondido, 44-7. Now, there was other action, of course, here this past week. We were both intrigued by Mount Miguel and Bishops, where you had a winless Bishops team. You had an undefeated Mount Miguel team, and this one went the way of Bishops.
Yeah, Bishops had a really tough schedule coming into this, and Mount Miguel did not. And I think that, contrary to popular belief, this is a Mount Miguel team that was just not tested coming into this game. I mean, they played a ton of Chula Vista aside, which is a team that, for their division, which is Division 4, is a decent team. But Mount Miguel throttled them 49-0 at home. They beat Sweetwater 48-14 at home. They beat Montgomery 40-0 at home. They beat Grossmont away 66-20. All four of those schools are not schools that you would probably consider top-notch talent in San Diego. Are they good? Do they have, you know, individual pieces that are competitive? Absolutely. But from top to bottom, they're not as competitive as a Mount Miguel squad that saw a ton of transfers, of course, and you know, the Mikaze connection with Verlaine Botafe and TJ McKay. But Bishops comes in, they were 0-3, and you were wondering, well, is this a different Bishops team since the Tyler Buchner years? Tyler Buchner, of course, who started at Alabama this past week, didn't play super well, but of course, still a name etched in stone for Bishops. And I think that Bishops turned a few heads based on the narratives coming into this game. It was 7-7 early, and then the second half was just absolutely dominated by Bishops, a team that we're going to see in about a week and a half. So it was a bit eye-opening, I think, for some people, especially if you go on social media, which is always a tough interpretation of reality. But Bishops showed some things defensively, especially, that I don't think we saw from their opening three games. And Mount Miguel finally faced a team with a ton of talent and faltered just a little bit.
You know, this past week also, Lincoln, I mean, they've rolled this year, number one, coming off a state championship. They beat Cajon 34-0 in a shutout. Listen to this. Lincoln has outscored its opponents in five games, 236-37. Trenice Woods, three catches, 82 yards, two touchdowns. Lincoln is 5-0. It doesn't seem as if there's anything really to slow down Lincoln right now.
No, this is a good Cajon team too. I mean, you and I were talking prior to starting the show here, and I was telling you about, you know, some of the Cajon rather alumni, Jaden Daniels, who started at Arizona State, now the quarterback at LSU, probably in the Heisman conversation early on in the college football season. You had that 5-touchdown first half performance last week. They beat Mississippi State on the road this week. So Cajon is a known entity for producing really quality football talent at the next level. But boy, they really struggled. I mean, Evan Powell, their junior, 6-for-22 for 60 yards. So we always talk about the offense for Lincoln, right? Akili Smith, who was 3-for-13. They really just ran the ball in this game. 32-for-121, a couple of touchdowns on the ground. They had two passing touchdowns, one from Johnny Limon, one from Akili Smith Jr. And Lincoln's looking towards conference play. They didn't want to show too much against Cajon in this game, so I think they played a bit conservatively offensively, which is why it was only 34-0. But man, that defense for Lincoln, that's the thing that people really aren't talking about. Yes, Donald Reed is fantastic, and Aiden Jackson, and you mentioned TJ Williams, and some of these guys on the ground, and the wide receivers, of course, with Trayden Gardner and Trenice Woods. But this defense is just so stout and so suffocating and makes it incredibly difficult on opposition to even get an opportunity for a play more than 5, 6, 7 yards downfield. So very impressive stuff from Lincoln. I'm not going to say it was unexpected, but of course the flowers to them for another prominent win against a Southern section team.
And to your point, Jerome Roberts, 2 block punts, 13 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for losses. Jamarian Herbert, 9 tackles, a forced fumble. And again, Lincoln has rolled to a 5-0 start. Now, you were at Del Norte and Poway this past weekend as well. Del Norte, a 28-20 win over Poway. Del Norte beating Poway for the first time in 8 tries to improve to 4-1 on the season. What was your, you know, impressions of that one?
Yeah, this is a Del Norte team that I think needs more attention. Not because I call their games, but because they are, you know, they are a really talented team. This is by far the best team in the school's 12 years of existence. They have a 3, maybe 4-star Ty Olson wide receiver, depending on who you're talking to and what you're looking at. Jack Schneider is going to play at the next level, probably an FCS quarterback, but still Division I talent. The defense is good. They were up 21-0 in the first quarter of this game. Play calling started to change a little bit. There's some coaching decisions that I think are still trying to be figured out in terms of who's calling the offense and who has say and who doesn't have say. So, Coach Barnett in his first season still figuring out how to properly address coaching situations that are, you know, under him with the coordinators and with some of the skill position coaches that they have. But to be up 21-0 on the road at Poway, a team they've never beaten before, a team that moved from the Palomar League to the Avocado League because they were perceptively better having won that Palomar League last year. And then again, first quarter throttled them. Second quarter offense started to falter a little bit. Second half, probably would have liked to see a little bit more aggression offensively, but again, 28-20. And the one loss against the Costa Canyon, I mean, that was a game that was riddled with mistakes. You know, it wasn't indicative. I think La Costa Canyon also played pretty poor in that game, but Del Norte was in that game until the final minutes where La Costa Canyon was able to rip off an 81-yard touchdown in garbage time to run up the score a little bit and put up 28 points. But, you know, I don't know if Del Norte is going to lose again this season. You know, they have Rancho Bernardo in 2 weeks, Eric Weddle coming to the building. He and I have a conversation scheduled for tomorrow. Very much looking forward to that. And then, you know, the rest of conference play, Mount Miguel got absolutely destroyed by El Camino this weekend. So I do think that we're going to see Del Norte in the Division II postseason. I think they're probably going to win it. People are going to start paying attention to the Nighthawks.
Off to a 4-1 start this year after beating Poway this past weekend. Now you have Carlsbad with their, you know, outstanding quarterback, one of the premier quarterbacks in the nation, Julian Sain, 8 of 10, 153 yards and 2 touchdowns. They really ran the ball effectively. Mason Walsh, 11 carries, 193 yards. Carlsbad over a Ramona team we saw in your view, I believe maybe in week 0 or week 1, but Carlsbad 38, Ramona 7 as Carlsbad continues to cruise as well. Ramona falls to 2-2.
Yeah, this is where the Ramona youth started to show itself. It's a very talented team, but it's young. Remember when we were there, they have a sophomore quarterback. Yeah. They have a senior running back. But other than that, it's really, you know, juniors and sophomores sort of sprinkled around the defense especially. And this was a wake-up call. Ramona's a good football team. They're a top 20 team in San Diego. But that just shows the discrepancy in talent from the best team in San Diego being Carlsbad or Lincoln, depending on who you're talking to, of course. And sort of the next tier, which Ramona, I believe, falls into. They're going to be the toughest challenge in that Palomar League for Del Norte. San Marcos also lost this week. They lost their quarterback, so I'm not sure how competitive they're going to be. So Ramona's a Division I school. They're probably going to make the playoffs. But again, it just shows the disparity and the best teams, the best of the best here. Julian Sain going to Alabama, number 2 quarterback in the nation, and a Ramona team that is incredibly talented but still young and pretty raw.
All right, so our next game on your view is actually not going to be in week 6. We've got a game coming up for you on Saturday, September 30th, a Saturday game. We have so many Thursdays this year. We have La Jolla Country Day at Bishop's. We'll get into that in a moment. But as you look ahead to week 6, Jonathan, as we just kind of looked back at week 5, what are a couple of matchups you've got your eye on heading into this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, Modern Day Catholic and St. Augustine. MDC finally picking up their first win last week. They're 1-3. St. Augustine's 3-2, but they almost faltered. They beat San Juan Hills 32-30 over the course of this past weekend. Another good Southern Section team. Not really sure what to expect from the St. Augustine offense still. They're still trying to figure out that identity. Young offense as well. Modern Day Catholic, Cartel Purvis figuring it out. That offensive line still a bit banged up. I think that's going to be a very intriguing matchup down in Chula Vista. It's not the most fruitful game, I think, in weekend, in San Diego. Cathedral Catholic is on the road to Liberty. Eastlake has a really fascinating game. They're playing a team out of Hammond, Indiana, in Chicago. Eastlake is 0-5 this season. Not the wealthiest school in San Diego, and they have a trip planned to Chicago to take on Hammond, which is going to be fascinating. So I'm really just intrigued by that matchup because of the circumstances surrounding it rather than the actual matchup itself. Granite Hills Madison is going to be another fantastic game. Madison's 2-3, but they played a gauntlet of a schedule. Granite Hills is 4-0, third best team, fourth best team, fifth best team in San Diego. Again, it just depends on who you talk to. And I think that there's upset potential in this game at Granite Hills. Really, really difficult place to play on the road. Fan environment is probably unparalleled compared to the rest of San Diego. I called a game there a couple of years ago against Helix, and it was just insane. So something to keep an eye on. And then Oceanside El Camino. This is a rivalry, a battle for Oceanside. El Camino, a couple of ticks east of Oceanside out there on the 78 freeway. El Camino, top 5 team in San Diego, top 6 team. Again, everything is sort of subjective, depending on what you see and who you talk to. But Oceanside, with all that momentum, I don't know if they have the talent to pull off the upset. They certainly have the momentum, though. And so I'm intrigued by that game as well.
You know, one other I wanted to touch on before we moved ahead to our next game, which is that La Jolla Country Day Bishops game Saturday, September 30th. We should mention Helix, another close game. They trailed Cathedral Catholic in the fourth quarter. They got a couple of late touchdowns from Kevin Allen to beat the Dons 35-21. So Helix and Cathedral Catholic, pretty good game this past weekend going the way of Helix.
Yeah, Cathedral Catholic also preseason gauntlet. They're 1-3 now, and you got to wonder, right, you know, is there some exposure, especially on that offensive side? When you run the wing T and you run the triple option consistently, if you're not wearing out defenses, there's a diminishing return to that style of offense, and I think Helix figured that out. They played the pocket, the holes in the offensive line very well. They frustrated the offensive line, and they pressured the quarterback, and it made things difficult. And that was a tactic they figured out as the game went on, right? Sometimes you get beat early, and you make these micro adjustments. Helix is well coached as they come in San Diego. So a good bounce back victory for them in that game.
All right. So La Jolla Country Day, Bishop, Saturday, September 30th. That is our next game. Game time on your view. By the way, looking ahead to what we have We have Hilltop and East Lake in October, El Cap Mount Miguel in the middle of October, Mission Hills at El Camino in late October. We have Madison at St. Augustine late October as well. Then we'll have a final game for you Thursday, October 26th. But what are your expectations? You'll be on the call for this one, I believe, with Jack Cronin as well. This is going to be a Saturday, September 30th, a couple of weeks from now, La Jolla Country Day, and we talked about Bishops as well.
So actually, Jack's off that game as well. He is calling. Okay. He is on the road with USD football that day, so I will be calling it with the great Tommy Morris. Tommy, a running backs coach at La Jolla High School. He's also been in local media. He used to do all the Fox Prep Zone stuff back when Fox was running their own preps media content creating machine, if you will. Tommy's a great dude, very well known throughout San Diego County. He helped start the Mesa Foundation at San Diego State, that NIL initiative as well. So I'm excited to work with him on that game. It's at Bishops. Again, a Bishops team that is, it faltered the first three games. They lost to La Jolla. They lost to Christian. Then they lost to Bishop Diego, a team out of Santa Barbara at home. And then they go on the road and they beat out Miguel 24-13, pretty convincingly. So you have to wonder if this Bishops team has figured some things out. Quarterbacking was a question mark coming into the season, but it seems like their quarterback, Cash Herrera, great name, his completion percentage was pretty low going into this Mount Miguel game. He was five touchdowns, three interceptions, and played called a perfect game out of the pocket. And then the running backs, Brown and Cepeda, good continuity from them. So I do think that this is going to be a game for Bishops against La Jolla Country Day, a team that really has struggled in San Diego for the last four or five seasons. You're going to see a good mix of RPO offense from Bishops. La Jolla could be 5-0. They lost their season opener. La Jolla Country Day could be 5-0. They lost their season opener at Chula Vista, 48-26. Howard Bannister's squad at Chula Vista completely revitalized a team I don't think we've seen in Chula Vista since our commissioner Joe Hines played there back in the 80s. But then they went on to beat Crawford. They handled Lake Mead in Henderson, Nevada, and then they took down Coronado. They most recently beat Escondido Charter this past week. Then they have Army-Navy, a game to pay attention to on Friday, a team with a four-star lineman, and then not too much else going on up there in Carlsbad with Army-Navy. So this should set up pretty well for Bishops and La Jolla Country Day. We're going to see a lot of passing, I think, from La Jolla Country Day more so than Bishops. But, the ground game opens up the passing game, and there's a really, really good quarterback in Jaden Mangini for La Jolla Country Day. I'm excited to see. He's 71 completion percentage in passing. He's averaging about 130 yards through the air, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. We'll see how that changes with this upcoming game against Army-Navy. But, yeah, this is going to be a really fascinating game, and I'm excited that we have it on a Saturday nonetheless.
Saturday, typically we'll have your games for you on Thursday, but you can watch every Game Time high school football game of the week on Your View Channel 4, including Saturday, September 30th. A reminder, this episode brought to you by Palomar Health. Champions aren't made overnight. They're created through practice, determination, and dedication. Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. Jonathan, enjoyed it. Let's do it again next week as we continue on, kind of nearing the midway point here, about a month in to high school football in San Diego County. Thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you, John.
All right, for Jonathan Rifkin, I'm John Schaefer, and you've been watching and listening to another episode of Left Coast Sports presented by Palomar Health.